You think that clap was synced up?
No, not at
Think it
all.
was
We
good.
got let's do the clap
Wait,
again. Let's go. Hey,
why do
for
you want to?
just come on, listen to me.
Why don't
Please
we just be
clap.
quiet and you clap and then we
All
start?
right.
Why do we all have to clap?
You don't all have to. Well,
All
because
right,
no, because
cool.
we you have four separate audio files that I have to put together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, do
Okay.
we need to like record our audio file?
No.
Oh,
I'm
okay. All right. All
recording.
right.
Okay,
All
ready?
right. Cool.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
I think that'll work.
Welcome to the Forward Pass Pod. You got myself, Charlie Mill. We got Sam Perry, Luke Duska, Caleb Archer. Guys, let's start first by saying, where is everybody at right now? Caleb, you could start us off.
I'm Caleb, like you said, currently going into my first year at Mercer Law School here in Macon, Georgia, Central Georgia, you know. So yeah, excited to talk some ball.
Sam, you want to go next?
Yeah, what's up, everyone? I'm Sam, obviously, ex-South Carolina Gamecock, currently in Austin, Texas, Longhorn country. I moved here for work a couple months ago and loving it, but you know, 3 more weeks and we're back to football, so I'm excited.
All right, I'm Luke Duska, currently in Elon, North Carolina, doing a final season of college football here. And yeah, I'm excited to talk some ball.
And I'm Charlie, Elon alum of 4 years. I'm taking my grad year at Indiana University, Pennsylvania. So I'm in Indiana, PA at my grandparents' house where there's Wi-Fi. And that's where we're going to start. So we'll start with the SEC gauntlet. Guys, before I got on here, we know we're doing the playoff like predictions later. I was like looking for the fourth SEC team and like, dude, it was literally like playing Russian roulette. I was like going through the schedules, like I have no idea. But I guess quarterback first, Lenoris, Arch, Nussmeier. I guess Gunnar Stockton, Bo Priebula. We got a lot of quarterbacks in the
Lagway?
SEC. Yeah,
Yeah, Lagway.
Lagway.
DJ
Oh, yeah,
Lagway. We got
Lagway.
Lagway if he can stay healthy for a
Yeah,
season.
Marcell Reed. I don't know if Arch, I'm sure you're not a huge
No.
Marcell Reed guy,
I'm bearish on him. Bearish.
so. Yeah, anybody want to take
Mateer?
Mateer? Oh my gosh, Mateer
I
ball
like Mateer.
with the OG,
Running
with
bottom
the
corner.
OC.
Running back.
I
I mean, you got Joey
mean, a running back
Aguilar.
just won the Super Bowl, Arch, so
True, true.
True. He did
You
lead
gotta stay on your toes.
he did leave the game in rushing yards. So I mean, never a good sign for your QB1. But I mean, you got Pavia, you got
Pavia.
Austin Simmons, Ty Simpson,
True.
and then you got who's the Will Rogers maybe?
Yeah.
The guy at Mississippi State or something like that. I think it's
Yeah, I'm
Rogers.
not.
No, it's something.
No.
No,
Who
it's
said it?
the Mississippi State quarterback is not Will Rogers.
Is it
Didn't he go
not?
to
Because
Wash? Didn't he go to Washington?
yeah, but he transferred to. Wait, I'm thinking of a guy that got hurt last year.
Mississippi State quarterback's Blake Shapen.
Chapin, that's who it is. Sorry, I confused it too.
All right, so I'm gonna open up with a take, and then I'll let you guys work off of it. So, you know how Josh Pate, he's always like 10-2 is like the new 8-4, and that's his like that's his new saying he says on every podcast he's on, which he is right. But I think that we have not programmed ourselves to think everybody thinks Alabama is Alabama. Georgia, we have to program ourselves to think Georgia is the new Alabama. So I think Georgia's gonna win the SEC this year. I have them winning the national championship. And the reason is I've seen a ton of times before, like an Alabama team with like a Mac Jones at quarterback or like an AJ McCarron, just like, you know, solid
I think and
completion
McCarron.
guy. They're good quarterbacks, not like NFL world beaters, or even Jalen Hurts when they won it, like freshman. So I just think we've seen that a bunch of times from Alabama, just a good ass defense, good coaching. They probably lose like an early game in the SEC, and then like all of a sudden they just kind of get fired and you're like, oh yeah, it's Alabama. I think like we need to reprogram ourselves to think like that's Georgia now. Kirby Smart is Nick Saban. He's the best coach in college football. Plus you have Gunnar Stockton, who's like he gives me a little bit of like the AJ McCarron type of vibes. They're like two different players, but Like Gunnar Stockton could probably play in like the USFL at worst and then be like the backup for the Packers like for 15 years at best. But he's a gamer. Like I really like when he just like runs, like lowers his shoulder through somebody else. They could have went and got anybody in the portal. Like they could have got Mendoza at Cal. They could have got Mateer. They could have went and paid all these guys. And like Kirby was like, I'm good with Gunnar Stockton. And then we'll have freshmen coming up the rear. So I think Georgia is the new Bama, and I am really high on Georgia. I'm sure that makes you happy, Arch.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with everything you say. I think if you're going to compare like quarterbacks, I guess like styles and situations from last year to this year, I think there's no doubt about it. Beck is like was a better quarterback, like talent wise. But I think if you're talking about like kind of like a fit that kind of opened up the offense more, I mean, people who say like Stockton was better than Beck last year, I don't see that at all because I think Beck's going to show people this year why he's going to be like a top 10 quarterback in college football. But I mean, I think the situation that Stockton's going to be in this year is perfect. I don't know if y'all watched Pate's Georgia preview that was on YouTube, which a lot of stuff he said I don't agree with. Like worst case 6-6 and the model, whatever. I mean, his model is
His
anti-UGA. It always has
model.
been. And he said 9-3 was probably going to be the most likely, and that's what he thinks. Like, I don't say I take that with a grain of salt, but I mean. He's probably this is probably going to be the best wide receiver situation Georgia quarterbacks had since probably 20, I would say like 2020 when we had a like three or four guys that are probably, I mean, Pickens was one of them, but I mean,
I like
he's
the lad
the lad Bowers Pickens
yeah, that
A.D.
was a
Mitchell. Sorry, that's
yeah, that
2021.
was
That was
yeah, that
a
was solid.
good one. And now all those guys were young. A.D. Mitchell was a freshman then. Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have Zachariah Branch, which I got a few sources around the program. He's like gamer wide receiver one. Like he's gonna
You're
be.
dialed into the program.
Yeah, no, my
Yeah.
I don't name my sources, but there's a guy
His
that
ear to the ground.
he's fired up about him. Noah Thomas, the he's an A&M transfer. He is going to be a dog. I mean, like I said, I think you're in the best situation possible, and that's just like talking about an offense for him and. The whole returning production on the offensive line. Our offensive line was pretty like subpar last year. So honestly, it's probably good to get some fresh life, I guess. I mean, I'm not wild about who the projected left tackle is. If you,
Monroe?
yeah, I'm not wild about that because I mean, he got Stockton's head taken off in the Notre Dame game multiple times, essentially almost
I have
basically
something for
cost
you
us the game.
about the O-line, Arch. We can get into it later.
Yeah.
Get into
I
it
mean,
now. Let's
yeah,
see.
get into it now. Let's hear
All right,
about it.
cool. All right. I didn't want to jump the gun, and obviously we didn't like coordinate this and talk about who we were picking and everything, but I also thought that Georgia was going to win the SEC. That's why I grabbed my Grab my
Yeah, how
dog's
about
crew
it?
neck.
How about it?
I generally agree with like everything you guys were saying about quarterback situation. Obviously, the wide receiver room. You're bullish on them, Arch. I think where tackle was maybe like a weaker, more inconsistent piece of the team last year, I think this year is definitely it could be more of an advantage. I think you have a lot of guys. You have two guys now that got a lot of reps last year. They were younger, so obviously there's going to be like inconsistent play in that area. And also Ernest Green and Truss were rotating the whole year, right? So having that continuity where you have like the same five guys hopefully playing the whole time. I know like the interior's less experienced. Because Ratledge and who's the center? Wilson.
Wilson, yeah.
Yeah,
I think
they
our
both
middle
went to the
three is
NFL.
gone.
Yeah. So like the interior three is less experienced, but they're still guys. The thing I liked about it was like the continuity of it. It wasn't really transfer dependent. It was guys that were waiting to play that are stepping into like the interior role now that have like been in the program before. I think that's obviously always like a strong piece of Georgia is like the depth that comes. So like those guys get an opportunity to play. And I think where tackle was like a weaker, less consistent piece of the team, I think this year Monroe Freeling has a lot of reps now. Like I think it'll be like a stronger, like more consistent piece that kind of puts them like over the edge of where they were last year. Cause I mean that was a big reason that the Notre Dame game went like how it did was because of all the pressure. So I'm excited about like that five now.
So I think that's a big piece of the offense.
Yeah, I would agree. I guess the last thing I'll say, I'm not a big fan of like the O-line by committee thing that we were trying to do, like where it was like
Yeah.
one
Also, I
series, one
think
guy
Green
comes
is
out.
was better than Truss like the whole year too. So I don't
Agreed. You
know.
know my opinions on Truss. I agree with that. He's like he was just a 7th year senior that this was hanging on to his COVID years. So I mean, I'm excited for the hopefully some continuity. I think this year we'll probably have a set five or like they'll probably like a
Yeah.
sixth man that'll rotate in sometimes. But I
And
mean,
isn't Bobo's son's the center too?
yeah, he's not bad. He
That's
was like
sick.
he was kind of a nepotism signee. He was like a 3-star that like when as soon as Georgia hired him back, he flipped to
Like the
Georgia.
Nepo
Like
signees.
so, but like he's proven a lot of people wrong because I mean on signing day, people are like, why did we sign Bobo's son? And
Yeah.
I mean, everything I've heard from him that he's going to be pretty good. He was on the Remington watch list, which I mean, there's probably like every SEC center probably makes that list. But like, I mean, he showed some good signs whenever Wilson went down last year. So I'm
Yeah, they've
excited
all
for
like played too. They just haven't, I mean, they weren't like the guy.
it. The only guy that hasn't played is going to be our right guard, Daniel Calhoun. He's a redshirt freshman, but he's like 6'7". Like he is humongous. So I mean, I
He's just
don't.
gonna road great. Yeah.
Yeah,
And he'll
he's
be
just
fine in
gonna.
protection. Like
He'll
he's just
just be
big
like
enough.
Mekhi Becton at guard, and the Eagles had him last year.
Sure.
Four,
Yeah,
that'll be what
exactly.
he's like.
Four-time Remington winner Caleb Archer, you're talking to right now.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
I get a lot of Kelly, you said like on the topic of how they are like basically Bama. I get very similar Jake Coker vibes with what's his, with
Stockton.
Georgia this year, just because Stock is not gonna have to do that much. He's got a lot more talent on the outside with Branch, and then they should take a big step forward. So I think that they should get theirs, especially with a lot of home games this year, and their tough SEC games. So I think this, I also pick Georgia in the SEC.
Oh, so we're all in
Across the board.
agreement. All right, I like that. I like that. So I guess we'll go more SEC when we get into the prediction stuff. I guess I'll throw the next thing I had, which is I am incredibly bullish on Clemson. I'm real big into Clemson. I think they have a first round edge, TJ Parker. Peter Woods, defensive tackle. He's also a first round tackle. Whenever they have like trenches, first rounders, huge. They return four starting O linemen, Blake Miller, Lay, Lithicum, Parks. And like, I know Duska, like, maybe you're not high on all of them, but I do like that there's four returning starters. And like, they're both the tackles, like, they could get drafted. Like, they're probably projected day twos. Like, they're not day one guys, but still pretty solid. And then what I love is their receiver room. Antonio Williams, gamer. Bryant Wesco Jr. Me and Duska were at the AC Championship game. Like he was like maybe the best player on the field. And then
Nice
TJ
printing
Moore.
stool.
Yeah, get the ball to Brennan. Where's Brennan Sewell? But TJ and then TJ Moore. TJ Moore would be the
Saw
best
TJ
receiver.
Moore firsthand.
He'd be the best receiver on pretty much every team in the ACC. And then like 80% of the college football, and he's the third best receiver on Clemson. He's unbelievable. So I really like those guys. You got year three Garrett Riley with paired with year three Klubnik, Dabo. And then just from like a college football macro standpoint, I just want to see Clemson do well because they have leaned so far away from what college football has become. I love that they don't really use the portal. I love that they're just like a culture thing. And I do think like if every 3 to 4 years Dabo gets a team like this, and if he coaches for like, say, 8 more years, and he gets two like legit chances at winning a natty, if he gets one of them, like if he just has 3 year windows where like he has a senior laden team like this, and then he has that two more times, like if he can get one or two more natties, like he's in the conversation for like the greatest college football coach we've ever seen, or at least like in the top three. So I
Yeah.
really like respect what he's done. It's pretty cool to kind of see how it's like all got like come together. And this is like definitely the year Dabo has circled since like probably he recruited Cade is like, hey, if we get this Cade senior year with all this O-line depth, and then they just banged on the receivers because TJ Moore was a freshman last year and so was Bryant Wesco Jr. Antonio Williams, like he's like Emeka Ebuka, like just he might go down as like one of the all-time leading receivers at Clemson. Just you put him anywhere, he plays in the slot, plays outside, you can just give him he's a playmaker. So I'm really high on Clemson. Plus, like, they don't play all that many teams. The SC game's going to be huge, but even if you lose that game, you still have a lot of margin for error. What say you guys?
They have a ton of margin for error, Charlie, because they're arguably their two hardest games of the year are both non-conference SEC games. So they could essentially lose both of those, like they did this year with losing to South Carolina and losing to Georgia, and still be fine. My only thing about Clemson is I'm very high on them as well. I just don't think that they're as good, and they were as good last year as people think. They didn't necessarily prove much last year on a just pure win standpoint. So I'm excited to see how Cade makes that second step now with year three under Gavin Riley and a pretty workable like chunk of the middle of your season. So I lost that game at Pitt, and they're not in the ACC championship. And then what are people saying now in the offseason? Like, this is an 8-4 team that lost essentially every difficult game they played. So that's my only holdback on Clemson, is I want to see Cade prove it in a sense where he balls out when he needs to ball out in a big time game and win one of those big time games. So.
Yeah, I'd kind of agree with that. I mean, I don't want to do like the whole revisionist history thing, but the last week of the season, the only reason why they made the ACC championship was because Syracuse upset Miami after being down like 21. And I'm really high on Clemson this year. I think they're probably going to be one of the top 10 best teams in the country. Like, I would probably guarantee that. Because like there's so much margin for error, like y'all were talking about. I mean, it's almost like a playoff berth is going to be a given, because if they're 11-1 and they split LSU and Clemson, or LSU and South Carolina, and they just go undefeated in the conference, say they don't have to win it, they'll probably still be in the playoff. But like, yeah, what Sam said, I mean, I pulled up their schedule from last year to look at it. At Virginia Tech, they won by 10. Like, it was a really nasty game. Pitt, they won by 4, and it
They
was
got
the sub they
spotted. That
had.
was just another officially horrendous officiating.
Yeah, I mean, the Pitt one was when Klubnik had like, I think it was like the 50-yard QB draw with like a minute left or something, like insane. They got dominated at home by Louisville, which I think people always forget about. Like, the game was a 12-point game, but I mean, I love Dabo. He was punting down 11 with like 4 minutes left. Like, this, he, they they're just like at home, like you're mailing it in essentially. So I mean, I'm high on him. I just think there's a lot of forgetful likeness, like Sam was talking about. Like, they were like two breaks away from being an 8-4 team that lost to their two teams that they should have lost to, and then lost to two teams that they were like Louisville, they were an 11-point favorite. I remember that. And it's just like, so until you can prove that, like when you're going to come to play against every ACC team, and it's, you're not going to take them lightly, I guess I would say. And like, you're error proof against most of the conference, then. But I mean, I still think that winning the ACC or making to the ACC championship is going to be a given this year. So you're really just going to have to bank on them hitting their stride towards the end of the season, which I think they probably will anyway. So.
But they do have two tough. They have to go to Georgia Tech and to UNC all before October 15th. So it's going to be interesting, because if they do lose the LSU game and then they have to go play at Georgia Tech a couple weeks later and something happens there, then you're staring down a 2-2 team that had all these expectations. So I think that LSU, we're going to get into this later, but I think that LSU Clemson game is really, really pivotal for both sides to kind of jumpstart their season. Because I'm pretty sure Clemson's got to go to Louisville too this year, correct? Yeah, they do.
They go to Louisville. Their aways
They.
or conference are Louisville, at BC, at UNC, and at
Yeah.
Tech. Which, I mean,
Do
two of
they
those
have.
are pretty tough games, and two of them are just eh.
So, I mean, you just never know. And it'll be interesting to see how, if they can get cooking in after this SMU game at home, could be a time where their season kind of turns if they go out and smoke SMU, and kind of get rolling from there. So it'll be interesting. But yeah, I think that, like, I also still haven't seen all that much out of Cade in these big games. So yeah, I
I
saw
mean,
him firsthand for that pick in the
I'll
region.
add for like all the talk of what's going on with Clemson the last few years, like people saying they're falling off, whatever. I agree. I like Clemson generally just because the fact that they don't lean into the portal, and like they're very focused on bringing players back, like that continuity aspect. I think that pays off, like Charlie said, like in 3-year windows where like the first 2 years you're gaining experience. Like Cade starts the first 2 years. Now he's got 2 years of starting experience to like step into these big games, these big roles. The same can be said for a lot of like the players on the team. And I also think like we were at the ACC championship game. I think like the profile of a Clemson player is still like the profile of the Clemson players from like their dominant era, like 10, 5, 10 years ago. And like when you compare that to, you look at that SMU team, like they look like they just like from just like a profile aspect, like obviously they're a good team. They look like they just got out of the American Conference and like got into the ACC, tried to get a bunch of transfers in. Like the profile of player is different. And I think that like is still a big piece of Clemson. They can still get those like SEC type players. And I think that'll carry over with the experience they have from the last like 2, 3 years with the core they have now. I think that's like a reason they're projected so high this year.
And they're calloused. Like I was at the Duke game with Isai when they lost to Duke to open up the year on a Monday, and
Wallace Wade.
Riley Leonard went nuts. They fumbled, like they had two fumbles on the goal line. It was shambles. We were in the parent section too. Like it was terrible. And yeah, Cade gave Isai the tickets, and we were just like, all the parents are like, are we really gonna lose to Duke? So like they got that loss. Louisville literally, they murdered them last year. I remember like that game when people were like, who's Jeff Brown? And you're like, yeah, this guy has a program. That was like the Tyler, is that Shuck or Show? Whatever.
No
Yeah,
show.
like dude, he put on a show. Dude, they had
Nice.
the Texas game, like, thanks, Sam. The Texas game, like, I actually thought they played well, especially offensively. And then defensively, like, they just didn't have the Jimmies and the Joes to like go compete with them for four quarters, especially like through the air. Like, I like that Avion Terrell is like he's probably gonna be a first or second round pick. So hopefully he's like the lockdown corner that you know they kind of use in that regard. But they are very battle tested and they are very calloused. Which you know when you're a senior laden team, I like to see like, hey, we failed a lot. Like Clemson football has been on the brink of like 7-5. They've stared down the barrel of 7-5 and 8-4 like multiple years in a row. So like you said, that could either be a bad sign of like trending down, or that's like, hey, this is our window and like that built us to this point. So I
Think that
guess like
pays
we're
off this year.
exactly. But yeah, there's definitely two ways to look at that. And then Duska, like the O line, I want you to just give me your quick thoughts about
I
that.
mean, I think I like Lay over Miller as a NFL prospect. Interior wise, like I'm not sure like what those guys are projected. I mean, obviously, I think who is it, Lithicum, and who's the other one?
Walker Parks, I believe.
Yeah, Lithicum. I don't know if they're like NFL projected,
They're
like maybe
like
undrafted guys,
six, seventh
but
guys, yeah.
it's still guys that have played like a full season of like ACC football. Miller started since he was a true freshman. Like he knows what he's doing. Like Lay, I said he's probably like the highest projected NFL body. I think like I mean we watch them play live. Like they just looked like different than like the SMU. Even the SMU D line wasn't bad, but like
Yeah,
they.
they were good.
Like at least edgewise they like it was they were pretty stout. So I
Yeah.
mean I like the O line and I like how much experience they have like going into this year. So I think they'll be good.
Yeah, I don't know how many ACC front sevens are just going to be able to play with them for four quarters,
Yeah,
to be honest.
exactly.
Like Georgia Tech, maybe. We'll see like what UNC is, like, I guess.
Duke D
But
line solid.
huh?
So the Duke D line solid.
Duke D line, very solid. Yeah, we're gonna see that. Was it a Friday, August 29th?
Thursday, 18
Thursday.
days.
13. Yeah, 18 days. Tune in. Probably what, ACC Network, probably.
ESPN
ESPN
Plus.
Plus.
Yeah, I already sniped it.
I'll be on.
That good?
All right, we're
Yeah, that
back
was perfect.
from break. We're going to get into a little more ACC talk. We kind of touched on them earlier, but involved, but. To give a little bit of a backstory, Pitt started off last year scorching hot, started off undefeated, and then ran into the SMU buzzsaw, and the wheels kind of came off from there. It kind of also started when Narduzzi refused to take out Holstein in the Syracuse game, and he concussed, and everything kind of went downhill from there. But I'm very high on Pitt this year. partially because there's a lot of continuity on the offense with Holstein being back, as well as Desmond Reed, who's going to be a superstar for them this year. Cade Bell, Pitt's OC, was talking a lot about how they need to be more explosive in their offense. Like, so last year, of their 29 passing touchdowns, only 24 of them, all or 24 of 25 touchdowns were in the red zone last year. So not a lot of explosivity on that Pitt offense, which kind of became a problem once the weather got a lot colder towards the end of the season when they had to really muck and grind games out. They were not able to score at high levels. So also the Pitt defense is what is going to really carry them this year. The sharp linebacker trio, that is going to be big, of Kyle Lewis, Rasheem Biles, and Lovelace. So when you have this really good linebacker core, you're in the ACC, they're going to be able to sneak up on some teams. Now, I'm not predicting them to make the playoff or to win 9 games, but when you kind of look at their schedule in November, they play at Stanford, Notre Dame at home, at Georgia Tech, and then Miami at home. So you're looking at those last 3 games as 3 teams that should all be in the college football playoff race. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Pitt can handle them. And they would not be a team I really want to play at the end of the season. So I predict around 8-4, I think, seems like a good record prediction for them, which is a little bit higher than what people are thinking. But then again, like, again, you just those last 3 games, I think that they could do a lot of damage, even if they're not in the ACC or playoff race come November.
City game against Duquesne could be huge.
Well,
You
yeah,
got to
so
get the ball
they
rolling.
have a really tough start to their season, playing the Dukes at home. So
Tough
that's going to be
game.
tough. If they can get through that, then the season's on.
NEC champs, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, I runner up
That
last year, but they
who won
lost
the
to
NEC last year?
Central Connecticut State, sadly. Yeah,
Ooh.
they beat
Duquesne's
Duquesne
quarterback threw what,
seven
seven picks?
picks. Yeah, so
Nah.
it's okay. It's okay. Luke Miller sadly is hurt. He's out for the year against for Duquesne. So tough loss for them. It's probably going to be a pit. I'll probably pit 30 plus point spread. But
I will be
hey,
all over
we'll be boots
Duquesne.
on ground at that
I
game.
will be
Hey,
boots on ground in Duquesne gear, unfortunately, but that'll be okay.
But Sam, I was talking to Jackie Delaney playing a little golf, and he's like, Pitt's making the playoff, no doubt. I was like, sounds a little homer, but I'll
There
take
is
your
some
word.
doubt.
But
No doubt.
Desmond Reed, running back, nasty. Like one of the best running backs. He if here's what would have to happen for Pitt to be like in the ACC championship. Desmond Reed has to be up for the Doak Walker, at least in the top five. Eli Holstein, completion percentage above 65%, probably throws for 3,500 yards, 30 touchdowns, 10 or less
He
picks.
threw for 30 last year, so like if
That's
you can get to that
exactly. Yeah,
35,
no doubt.
yeah.
And then they got to be a little more explosive. Their defense has always been good. Their linebackers are awesome, but we haven't seen the D line production that we're used to seeing from Pitt over the last like three and a half years. So hope usually if the Deuce Crews, Pat Narduzzi, the Deuce Crews, I do give him credit. D line wizard, like we pump out D linemen to the NFL, but the Deuce Crews, like it's coming time to answer the call. We need some sacks this year because like Pitt is super reliant on a good defense. Usually our receivers are not very explosive per usual. So
Well, I mean, you could see a big step from like Kenny and Poppy Williams. So, I mean, there could be some hope there. I mean, Kenny Johnson had 500 receiving yards last year. Poppy Williams had 450. So, like, you
I
could
don't
see
think
one
they
of
would
those guys
start on
step up a
like
little bit.
I just don't think they would start on like this top seven ACC teams like
Well, probably. Well, they are. Pitt's probably a top seven ACC team.
True, true. I'm just saying, like, just usually they're not very good at receiver, except Jordan Addison, but then we lost him. But
Snake.
Why did he get suspended for 3 games, by the way? Did we just already know?
The DUI, I think, right? Wasn't he driving like 500 miles an hour?
Thought it was PEDs.
Oh, was it? Because I
I thought
don't
it
think you
was
get
substance or
suspended for
something.
DUIs. The NFL is like that.
No,
Oh,
they honestly,
they let that
everything
slide.
goes except gambling. You
Sports
can't do
betting,
that.
no, but DUIs is fine.
DUIs, we're
Hitting
good.
a woman, you're like,
Fine.
all right, causing like a 17 car pileup like Rasheed Rice, you're good, bro.
Just pay a small fine.
Yeah.
You bet on a horse race?
And then just don't
No,
acknowledge
yeah.
it.
Addison pleaded no, it was DUI.
Yeah, no, I know about that, but like, did he get suspended for the DUI? That'd be big for the NFL.
It's he got suspended.
Violating substance
Yeah,
abuse.
substance abuse.
So
Gosh,
that
like, dude,
means
why both?
I don't think that's PEDs, and I feel like that's like drugs.
Yeah, probably.
Like but I don't know if it
He
was
was
like a
probably like really.
weed test.
If it's performance enhancing, I think it's more games. So
Nah,
I don't know what it
usually,
could have been.
I don't know. Yeah,
No,
well.
I know Lane Johnson got suspended for 10 games 1 year
That was because he was
for
ripping juice.
PEDs.
He was like
Yeah.
6% body fat at 400
Yeah.
pounds.
He had a
So, I mean, I
six
think
pack.
that's tough to see.
No,
Yeah.
yeah. He was out for 10 games and the Eagles were bad when
Yeah.
that
No,
happened.
well, that's okay. They
Yeah.
won't be bad for a while. So yeah, I guess any of the non-Pitt guys here, anybody have to chime in with some Pitt content or no?
I mean, I don't have a lot, but I hope
All
they're good. I mean,
right. Sweet.
I
Thanks.
think I'll chime in. I mean, I love the backyard brawl. I think it's an awesome game. I got hooked on it. What is it? Sophomore year, whenever JT Daniels was a Dub V, and they lost because no, I don't think it was the year
No,
after
JT threw the pick. Remember we were
the pick
watching a
six.
game.
Yeah,
Yeah, we were
the guy
watching that
drew,
game
went over
together,
his head.
us.
And they housed it.
Yeah,
Nick
the guy
Watt.
didn't go for it. Yeah,
Yes,
the
yes. It was a Thursday night game.
Yeah,
That was
I mean, it was
awesome.
the first college football because I remember me and Chuck got some Wingstop and we were sitting there just dialed in on the TV.
Yeah.
Now I'm excited. I mean, Rich Rod being back for West Virginia is pretty sick. And I mean, that game is like anything goes. 3:30 ESPN slot. I'm looking.
Sam
I
was
mean, Pitt.
saying possible game
I was
day.
talking to Charlie about this. I think they should go there for College Game Day.
What other
Yeah, I mean,
games are that league?
Georgia
I'm pretty
versus
sure there's
Tennessee.
Georgia, Tennessee, and
I'm
Florida
not.
LSU, right?
Yeah, I'm not moved at Georgia, Tennessee though.
I'll probably
Tennessee,
do
Brad.
Florida LSU.
No, but here's my thought is this is the last year of the brawl till like I don't know the exact number, but in like at least 2030 something, or at least a
What?
while. Yes.
Why?
So they're not playing the brawl for a while. Rich
Corporate
Rod being back. I think Rich Rod being back brings a little bit more juice to the thing. And I think McAfee will want to go back there. Like I
I
would
yeah, that's a
so
good
much
point.
rather College Game Day be in Morgantown than Baton Rouge for the 500th time.
Yeah, no, I
Yeah.
mean, I think the smart decision would be going to Morgantown. But if LSU wins week one and Lagway's back, then they're going to go for the whole 3-0 versus 3-0 or 2-0 versus 2-0. And they're going to try and act like LSU and Florida are like the 3rd and 5th best team in the country. And they're going to hype it up to be way
Yeah.
more than it
The
actually is. So, I
model will
mean,
have them at 6 and 7. That'll be huge.
yeah,
Yeah.
it'll just be like, so, I
But like
mean.
that's the thing is like they go there. I don't they why don't they just make that it's I obviously it's probably gonna be there, but I just wish that they would go to campuses that don't have it that much. Because it's so much like the people at LSU don't give a fuck if they have College Game Day. Like
Yeah, it's
if
more
I go to
fun, isn't
LSU,
it?
like right. Like when we were at South Arch, when we were at South Carolina, like there was all the Cocks are out at like 4 a.m. and it was so fun. But like when it comes to UGA, you're not like running out of your dorm at 3 a.m. to go sit for College Game Day because it comes there all the time.
No, like the freshmen do, but nobody else does. Because UGA is probably gonna have game day there twice this year, I would assume. And like the
Yeah.
first time will be cool because it's Bama, but the games that like. The whole game day, but you have the game is 7:30. Like the coolest part about the LSU one was that it was a noon game. So it's like you just walk straight from like if the game's at 7:30 and you got game day, it's just like people are going
Not
to
when they
care
run out
less
of
about
water
it.
in the student section. That was not
Yeah,
cool.
that was a time.
Did you guys see the Rich Rod interview where he was talking about like the running backs? It was like someone asked about like how the running backs were doing in workouts. He's like, we have like eight running backs and only two of them made it through the workout. So I mean,
Yeah, I did see this.
this is a business.
Did
So
you see the coaching one? And he was literally just like, "You're the coach. Why am I pet? You can't coach. Coach the like." He was ripping into his coaches, like ripping in. So I mean, I'm definitely in on the Rich Rod
a
talking.
Friday Rich Rod interview would be
What if we
fire.
were a year early on WVU? Remember
Oh,
how everyone
being
was pretty high
good?
on them last
Yeah,
year? What if
yeah.
we were a year early on them? Because like
I
the
don't
Big
know. I
12,
don't
like, I'm
see
looking
it.
at their schedule right now.
They're gonna be the frisky Big 12 team. Like they're gonna get a couple
Yeah.
people. I think they'll get a couple people and be like 7 and 5. Like they'll get Texas. I love them getting Texas Tech late in the year. I love them. I love
It
them
could be
getting
the Pitt
Texas
of the
Tech.
ACC or
Yes.
the Pitt
Yep.
of the Big 12.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Look at their
literally.
November. Look at
Yeah,
their
they're
November. Let's
frisky.
go through their November. Colorado at home, at Arizona State, Texas Tech at home. Three teams
Damn.
that could very well be vying for a Big
They're
12
getting Texas
title
Tech. I'm
spot.
telling you right now.
Yeah, they ended off a bye. I identified that in Arch Madden, a shameless plug, but I mean, I said that they're the fellas from Lubbock are not going to want to go up to Dub V when it's like 20-degree weather and it's probably going to be rainy and cold.
Rain,
I mean,
sleeting.
yeah.
Yeah.
Texas
And
Tech
they're going to be there.
spanked. They spanked WV last year, though.
That's okay.
We're not moved by that, bro. We're
No,
not.
it's
All
Rich Rod, though.
right.
It's Rich Rod.
Okay.
It's
All right.
different.
That's fair. That's fair.
No, but that's a good point. That's a lot of homerism of just
I
cold
mean,
weather
dude,
football.
but also
I
it's
mean,
like
I love cold weather
they're off
football.
a bye. I mean, I think Houston and West Virginia are going to be the two frisky teams this year that like you're going to overlook them and they're going to come
Ooh.
punch you in the mouth. So I mean,
Houston, I like that. I like
not
William
Colorado,
Frick.
Arch.
Don't get me started. I think they're off. I think the problem with Colorado is such a polar, like it's always been this. It's like either someone thinks they're going to go 12 and 0 or they're going to go 0 and 12. Like
Yeah. They're
you
gonna be
can't
seven
just
and
have
five.
like you. Oh,
Yeah, literally.
They're literally gonna be 66-75.
I
Unless
haven't even looked at their
one of their
schedule.
quarterbacks is like
Well, they do play.
unbelievable. Could be
I think
Salter.
honestly, this is like really funny. I think the most important game of the season is their first game. If they
I
go out
agree.
versus Georgia
TCU?
Tech and
Oh,
get
GTU.
Georgia
Georgia
Tech, if
Tech.
they go out against
Yeah.
Georgia Tech and just get like smacked around, like quit watch already. But if you don't, like if you go out there and beat Tech, I think this team probably has like an 8-9-3 ceiling. But like
Have you beat
the
Georgia
week one,
Tech?
I think it depends on. I don't. Yeah, I don't. I mean, we'll get into it.
Is that not their hardest game?
Georgia, no, they play at Utah, at West Virginia, at
Yeah.
Kansas State, at TCU, and
They
then
have a little
versus Arizona
November
State.
gauntlet too.
Their November gauntlet, honestly, end of October, they play at Utah and they play versus Arizona, which if Brent Brennan doesn't get Arizona together, he's not going to be there next year. And then you got at West Virginia versus Arizona State and at Kansas State. Those are four games that, like, if your team is completely checked out, you could get beat by double digits by all of them. So, I
Yep.
mean, you just got to monitor that. But I mean, I don't see that the team checking out. But
I got a few sleepers as we move into this, and I've got some sleepers that I like. Shout out Arch Madness for this, but Washington, I like them. I really like
Big.
them.
They will beat them.
I am really high on what's his name? Williams? Devon
Desmond
Williams.
Williams.
He no, Demon
Demon
Williams.
Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Denzel Boston is unbelievable. I was watching
The
Denzel Boston. Oh,
receiver.
he's a receiver. He had like a, he had a smooth 1,000 yards last year. He's
Like
really
unnoticeable, a thousand. He's
like
good.
a smooth multiple quarterbacks. Like he just got open baller. Denzel
Yeah.
Boston's really good. So I think because Washington is like a team. When you look at the Big Ten, obviously in any order, you've got Ohio State, Penn State, Oregon. Then you're in like the Michigan, Iowa, Washington, SC range. I think Wisconsin, Washington could be the one that rises to the top. I also, my big sleeper game is Iowa. Penn State comes to Iowa. Mark Grebanowski, FCS legend, gets the boys
What?
fired up. It's the fourth quarter. It's 13 to 16. They're down. They turn to the children with cancer, wave. And then Grebanowski has a touchdown leading drive, and they win like 21-16. Kirk Ferentz's defense slams the door shut, and Iowa walks out a winner
Happy
in that
Valley
game.
is run is ablaze. People
Happy
are gonna
Valley is literally my
call for
cousin. I
Franklin
get
to
to
be
call
crucified.
all my cousins and talk shit to them, all of them. What say
I
you
like
about that
that.
one?
I think some Penn State bias might be seeping out a little
What?
bit.
But okay, time out. Iowa though. No,
I don't
nobody
hate them.
does
I was somewhat frisky.
Mark Grebin. I just think
Always.
I've seen Mark Grebinowski win two national championships at the FCS
That's
level.
true.
That
Yeah.
means something to me. That could be FCS bias
I
also.
don't know if y'all. I don't know if y'all saw that clip of like the 5-yard out
Yeah.
route that he hit on their run. And Iowa was like, oh my God, we've never seen this before. Like, I think he's gonna be good. I mean, I don't know how you get worse than they had Brendan Sullivan, who like was playing scout team linebacker for him, trotting out in Big Ten play too. Like, it was a deeply unserious
We get to
quarterback
play one
room
of their
last year.
quarterbacks from last year as
Yeah,
well.
literally. And now, yeah, one of them was so bad. He's
McNamara.
doing a QB by committee with him and Marquise Caldwell from UNC. Like, this is not. It's. I don't know. To go, I guess I'll chime in on the Washington love real quick. I mean, I love them, obviously. I think they're going to be. I mean, Jed Fish is one of the best coaches, and like, I think these people have kind of forgotten about him because like, he had a basically an insane year Arizona. They were 11-1 against the spread. They played how the play they were supposed to play. I think their one they didn't cover was against Colorado, and they scored a last second touchdown. I mean, I think people forget that because he literally left right after, and Tet McMillan and all them stayed at Arizona. I think my spot, this is going to be crazy, which I'm kind of upset because it comes on Saturday, September 27th, when Georgia and Bama play, and LSU Ole Miss. Washington hosts Ohio State, and it's going to be 10:30 or 7:30 game. Mm. And I'm not saying they're going to beat them. I'm saying I think that's going to be the perfect litmus test to see exactly what Washington is, whether they're just going to be a team that's going to be 7-5, 8-4, or if you think they're going to be a team that could go 10-2. Because, I mean, they're two hardest games of the season. They play at home against Ohio State, and they play at the end of the season, they play Oregon. And that is my upset pick. They are going to smack Oregon around in that last game. Oregon has a Washington problem. Oregon, at this point, you have no idea what Dante Moore is going to be. People I saw picking for the Heisman, just watch your UCLA tape. That's all you got to see. I'm not saying he's going to be as bad as he was at UCLA. I think the Oregon system is obviously way better than with Willie Stein. And, I mean, DeCorian Moore, that freshman they have, I mean, he'll probably light it up. But I think the drop-off you're going to see really this year with Oregon, I don't think they had a great portal class. I mean, they did get the Tulane running back and Isaiah World from Nevada. I just don't see that being the the same
a lot of production to replace.
Do you think Oregon makes the playoff? So Oregon's not in your playoff.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Ooh, okay. That's spicy.
I think they'll be a perfectly 9 and I mean the problem is Oregon's schedule is not hard. So it's they could go 10-2 and they'll get the brand logo recognition.
Ohio State or they don't play Ohio
they
State.
Don't play, no, they play Penn
they play,
State.
They play Penn State.
Penn State. In the whiteout. Yeah.
And it's I mean, I already
– they'll probably lose that one.
It already opened as a game of the year on FanDuel I saw because somebody was posting about it. They're already a 4-point underdog, which
– if Penn State loses that one, they're going to burn the campus. They're
that's my problem is campus. I hate both of those teams this year. How do you choose a game? If Oregon wins, that means they're probably making the playoff. If Penn State wins, then you're going to hear the whole – man, I can't. I don't want to live in a world where that
contenders.
Happens.
Contenders,
so, yeah,
there are contenders though. They are contenders. I don't like
pretenders.
You think they're because Arch?
No, I don't.
No. I see Arch's face over there, dude. I hate Penn State as much as anybody, but gosh, they have two amazing running backs. Their defense is unbelievable. Always good defense. And then this is the best quarterback prospect they've had since name. I don't even know. I was talking to my uncle. He was like, he said some quarterback from the 80s. I was like, yeah, no idea.
Trace McSorley.
Trace McSorley literally was, he's an XFL quarterback. So this is their first pro quarterback, legit. He's going to go in the first round quarterback.
Remember when he came in against the Steelers on that Wednesday night COVID game?
Yes.
When we beat them 10-9. But the problem, Penn State, they're great on paper. They've all this returning, but they have one flaw. And that flaw is since 2017, when they are underdogs against the spread, they are 2-15 outright when they are dogs against the spread. So basically what that is saying for people is that anytime Penn State has been an underdog in the past 8 years, essentially, they have lost, except for two games. So do they have it in them to finally make the leap? I think we could, it's similar to what we were saying about Clemson. They haven't proved anything in the past couple of years because they always lose the big games. And it pains me to say this, but this is their best chance that they've had since.
Yes.
Probably that Saquon team in the Rose Bowl that lost to Pitt, by the way.
Yeah.
So it pains me to say this, but Penn State should be very good. Back on the Washington train, I don't want to spoil anything. I do have them in my playoff as the number 11 team.
Wow.
Because I just, I wanted it's not going to be the same chalk that everyone thinks. There's going to be a couple of new teams, but I have Washington. I love this team. I love some of these spots that they have, like Oregon in that last week. That heart of the schedule is really not that bad once you get past this Ohio State game. So it's going to be interesting. I think people are a little bit high on Illinois. I think that Wisconsin is not going to be good. So you have this streak of games here in the middle of the year where you could easily see yourself in a 10-1 spot, or even a 9-1, or what would that be? A 9-2 spot heading into that Oregon game come week 12 and after Thanksgiving, and it's win and you're in. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think this team could make a lot of noise, and I think it's a team that's flying under the radar this year with Chad Fetch.
Hey, everybody, I want you to pay attention to Arch's reaction. And I'm gonna give him a team right now that I really like.
I mean, I've been so, yeah. I mean, I love it. I don't know if you could be higher on Utah than I am, but
How much real estate do you have in the Mormon churches right now?
I mean, we got like, it's definitely a respectable amount. I mean, I
Mormon
don't,
churches don't pay taxes either, so this could be
yeah.
a
I
good
mean,
investment for
I
them.
think they're gonna, if you're gonna look at anything, I'm going to be saying that they're going to be, winning the Big 12. That's all I've really.
Do any of you guys know, besides Arch, their quarterback this year?
Not Cam Rising.
No, not Cam Rising. Arch had a really good point of that in his he was like an AARP member, Cam Rising.
Got a Social Security member behind center. You can't.
But dude, so Devin Dampier, he's a transfer from New Mexico State. They have the same thing as Oklahoma did, where they took the OC and the quarterback, like
Ooh,
Metier
I
and
like that.
Arbuckle. They got Jason Beck and Devin Dampier. And Devin Dampier, he had 12 touchdowns and 12 picks last year. So like statistically, he will not blow you away, but he is such a college quarterback. Like he's 5'11". He's like he reminds me of like the best, like Jalen Daniels at Kansas, like the best parts of him, like a lot of read option, a lot of boot, a lot of play action, and he can throw the football. Like he throws the rock. So I do think New Mexico State was like a pitiful, pitiful situation last year. But I really like you. Utah, when they get good quarterback play, has historically been unbelievable. Like you go back to the Urban Meyer days and Kyle Whittingham, like all they need is a B minus to B plus quarterback, and like they will win football games, like no doubt. So I'm also high
We
on
might have
Utah.
been a year behind on them as well.
Yeah. I would say I'll piggyback off that for, I think Dan Pierre has like the lowest pressure to sack ratio in college football last year. I mean, the guy, if you pressure him, you're not sacking him. He is probably the most like pocket. He's probably has some of the best pocket presence I've ever seen. He's just like he's elusive. I mean, I don't know if you've been paying attention to the, obviously it's kind of like sicko material. Kyle Whittingham's press conferences, he's
No, I
been talking
haven't.
about. He's he
No.
has quote, it's the best O-line he's had in his 18 years there. I mean, they got
I love that.
Fatoh, I think that's his name, or something.
They got
Finau,
the
he's like
best.
a, he's gonna be a first round
He's
tackle.
like PFF's best tackle,
I
best
mean, you
returning
got
tackle.
him. You got
I
they
love
got a guy.
Polynesian tackles, by the way. Any
They got a lot
Polynesian
of
tackle, I'm in.
Savanaia.
Fatanu. Yeah, they got a lot of guys. And I think, I mean, they got a running back from Washington State that kind of was like the two-headed rushing monster with Metier last year. They lost some guys to, like, I mean, a guy from Utah transferred to BYU. Like, he's gonna be good.
Mormon and Norman.
They lost some people, but I mean, it's not like they didn't lose like a ridiculous amount. And I don't know how you're worse than you were last year. I think that was probably the floor bot. That was like the worst case scenario what you saw from Utah last year. I don't think it happens again. Kyle Whittingham came back for his last season. Like, this is going to be his last season, and the DC is gonna be taking over. He said he came back because he didn't like the way he left it. So I mean, that's. I think you got so many reasons why you can look at Utah. And like in the Big 12, every team is pretty much like the same. Kind of like the middle, like the top tiers, like you could draw a name from a hat and you tell me they won the Big 12. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. And Utah's one of those teams. They got some of their best games at, like they got some of their toughest games at home, and their road trips are pretty favorable. And their out of conference is, I believe, a joke. I don't think they play like any.
No, they don't play anyone.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're looking at, I'm
Pepperdine.
trying to find their week one game. Okay, they play UCLA, which I'm not going to spoil it because I've been a very avid Nico hater. UCLA is not going to be good. You got UCLA at a,
What?
you got
No
UCLA,
way.
Cal Poly, and Wyoming as
Ooh,
tune-ups
Cal
to kind of
Poly.
get that
Come on.
offense, kind of get that offense going before you play versus Texas Tech in your first Big 12 game, but it's at home. Lord knows what Texas Tech's going to be. Their quarterback could be
That
hurt
was one
by
of my
then.
upset games. I don't know if that'll even be enough of a spread to, but
They'll
I
be
think Utah
favored.
gets that. You
I think
think?
they'll be favored.
Texas
I
Tech,
think,
everybody's is like everybody's darling right now.
yeah, dude. I think if you look at
That's
Utah's
wild.
schedule, I think they'll be underdogs in probably two spots all year. I think they'll be underdog at Baylor, depending on how Baylor does this year.
Ooh, I
And
could
then
like
I
that.
think Arizona State, they might be it's at home, but they'll probably be like a 3-point underdog. So like, but I mean, other than that, you play Cincy, Kansas State, which Avery Johnson, running back. I mean, I don't know how you look at like, and then you play at Kansas. That all depends on Kansas. If Kansas is on quit watch because they're like another 6-5 season,
If we get
and
Jalen
they're
Daniels, like
if
go
you're getting
Jalen
healthy,
Daniels.
you're that's going to be a tough game. But if not,
Yeah.
like you're looking at like probably a game that Kansas is not going to care about, and that and Utah could have everything to play for if they're trying to play go to the Big 12 championship. So
Yeah.
like, I like them.
I want to get back to the Big Ten real quick, and I'm going to throw it to Duska here. I'm going to give you a name or whoever. Who do you think's going to first? Who do you think is going to win the Big Ten? Second, Ohio State. Give me your opinions on them.
Okay. My Big Ten winner is Penn State. Yeah.
Ooh.
Okay. So the way I saw it was that Penn State loses at Ohio State when they play in the regular season. And then in the return in the Big Ten championship, they beat Ohio State. So I think, I mean, we've talked about like Penn State's returning production. This is their year. It's the make or break year. The most properly rated team. Like, can they win the big game? All those questions. I think that's like this is the year. These are the big spots they have to produce. I like their O line. They have a lot of returning experience. I think Drew Shelton's one of the best tackles in the country. So I think they'll be Drew Aller's going to be protected. He just needs to make the right decisions. So I think Penn State wins the conference. Ohio State, I think obviously they'll be solid. I mean, it's Ohio State. They have the infrastructure. They get the big recruits. I think a lot of it comes down to they're replacing a lot of production on the O-line. They had two first round offensive linemen last year. They lost a 3-year starter in Josh Freier. So they have a lot to replace offensively up front, but I think they always have the weapons. A lot of it's going to come down to like saying it, a lot of it is just quarterback decision making at the end of the day, because I think he'll be protected too. I think the O-line will be solid. There's some schools that are just O-line factories, and Ohio State's one of them. So I think they'll be solid, like run of the mill, good Ohio State. I just think this is the year that like Penn State finally wins in the big spot in that big moment. And then I also had a sleeper team in the Big Ten. I don't even know if this is a sleeper, but I really like Michigan this year,
Ooh.
just because I think they have of Big Ten schedules, they have a softish one. They don't play Penn State or Oregon. Sharon Moore's second year as full head coach, and like you can call last year a down year if you want, but they did beat the national champions like the week before the playoff or 2 weeks before the playoffs started. So I think, I mean, there's Bryce. It's all Bryce Underwood. Like, what actually is he as? If he's the starter, what do they have? Like, how dynamic is he? Like, because the ceiling of the offense with him like producing at a high level is probably pretty elite just based off the hype that he has. So I think with the schedule and considering all that, I think and Michigan's also one of those schools, O-line factory. Like, they always have talent at that spot. They can always run the ball. So I think just the profile of that team, I think they'll be solid with how much continuity they have. It just kind of comes down to Underwood. A lot of it is like quarterback decision making, like I said. So like young guys like saying Underwood, like are they going to be able to produce, and are they going to be able to make the big plays like on those plays, because these teams can run the ball on play action. Are they going to be able to make the right decisions and make big plays downfield? So I think there's a lot of questions to be answered, but I think preseason that's kind of where my head is Big Ten wise.
I like Michigan. Well, they just play they play a conducive like style of football for quarterbacks. Like they run the
Yeah.
rock.
They establish the
They
run, and then
play good
play
defense.
action, big
Yeah,
plays.
they
Yeah.
play action you to death. Obviously Underwood like 6'3", 6'4", like pro
RB.
style. Yeah, pro style guy has the RB qualities you need. Like dude, he could throw for 50% completion and still be effective this year. Like
Yeah.
he could be a kid that, hey, I need another year before I'm actually like a quarterback where I'm just like dicing teams up. But like the built-in athleticism buys you time to be good. I do think that fourth spot in the Big Ten, like you're gonna get because like Notre Dame is going to steal a Big Ten or SEC spot
Yeah.
probably, right? So ACC is so like in the playoff, the ACC will get one or two teams. The Big 12 will get one or two teams. If the Big 12 gets two, the ACC will get one and vice versa, right? And then there's you get 4-4, 4-4, except Notre Dame's going to take one of
Notre
those
Dame
spots.
takes one.
So you
Yeah.
got to be in the top four of the Big Ten to make the playoff at least. And so that fourth spot, whether it's Washington or whether it's Michigan, that's really huge. And I would love to
They
see
play
that.
each other too. They play
Yes.
each other like
Yeah.
mid-October, so that's going
Yes.
to be a
That's a
big game,
huge
I
game.
think.
But Michigan, like, if they just like beat Ohio State again, like they
They're
could
in
be
good
there.
shape.
Yeah, they're in great.
No
They're
Penn
the
State, no Oregon.
only team where like when you look at when you see like Ohio State on their schedule, you're like they have a greater than 50% chance of winning. You're like I have some confidence, some level of confidence that like they're not gonna get boat raced. Like
I think the challenge for the SEC too, when it comes to like there being 4-4 for each conference and like Notre Dame taking one, the SEC schedule is like such a mess for like so
Yeah.
many teams that are trying to win enough games to make the playoff. Like that's where a team like Michigan or Washington, they sneak into that spot because their schedule comparatively is a little softer than like the SEC gauntlet that a lot of the teams have to play.
You
So
know, Arch, I was
I
looking
think,
and oh, you go, Sam.
no, I was just going to say on the Michigan train, that week two trip to Norman is going to be very interesting. Like, not even like, I don't think either you could see like both teams not even being ranked at that point. I don't know what the AP poll is going to look like, and I'm not really sure where Michigan.
They'll be model ranked though, both of them.
They'll be,
Yeah.
if they are, it'll be in the 20s, but I think that's a very, very interesting game. Just two big brands, two blue bloods at
I think
night
that's
in
going to be a
Norman.
test, kind of
Yeah,
see
I
what
think
Michigan can
even if
go
Michigan
on.
loses that game, they have room to operate in the Big Ten. Like
Yeah,
they're
that's
just
true.
gonna
Yeah.
have to like they'll have to pick up the Washington, like they have to beat Washington then, and then like
If
even if they lose
Oklahoma
to
wants
Ohio
to make the
State.
playoff, they have to win it.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's a lot bigger game for Oklahoma.
Yeah. Art, you got anything?
About the Big Ten, I would say I agree. Well, not about Penn State. I don't like to go back to. I think Ohio State is my Big Ten winner. My kind of sleeper team, I guess, which I don't even know if you'd call them a sleeper because of like what they did last year. I think Indiana is going to be good again. I don't see there being a huge drop off. Like I think Fernando Marti Mendoza, sorry.
Mendoza.
He is going to be better than Curtis Rourke, and
Yeah,
Curtis
he's better
Rourke
than
at
Rourke.
times looked really good. I mean, obviously the Shanahan Cincinnati offense of like the kind of the RPO, like it's a very college offense, and you need a college quarterback to run it. You don't need a guy that's going to be 1-1 in the draft in May or April. So I think Mendoza's a perfect guy. He's way more mobile than Rourke too, because Rourke was a statue in the pocket because of
Hey,
his knees and all that.
Elijah Surratt, their number one
Love
receiver.
that guy. He was a
Unbelievable.
dog against Notre Dame. He was about the only thing working for him. So,
JMU legend.
yeah, I
But they have a
think
better roster than they do. I think they have a better roster this year than they did last year.
that's what I'm saying. And they got a bunch of transfer. I mean, they got a Pitt
It's just
corner
the
transfer
schedule
I
is
went
the
to high
problem.
school with that was he's gonna be pretty good. I mean, you reloaded at a lot of positions. So I think if I was gonna pick like a team that like you're not really thinking about other than like the Washingtons. I think Indiana is still going to be in that mix because Indiana's schedule is so like it's just not
I
a
think it's
great
a little
schedule.
tougher than last year.
It's a little tougher than last year, but
Yeah.
it's still just not a it's still not like you're going to have you have a it's like the Penn State one. You have a preseason. You have like a 4-week
Yeah.
preseason before you actually start doing literally anything. I mean, they play ODU, Kennesaw State, Indiana State at a
Hey, don't
conference like
sleep on ODU. They snuck up on South Carolina last year.
yeah, true. Well, that
The
was
Sycamores.
yeah.
Watch out
No,
for
I mean,
them.
I think one of my favorite kind of
And the
Big Ten
baby
spots,
blues.
yeah, the Larry Birds. I think my
Yeah.
favorite spot is going to be like kind of interesting one earlier in the season is literally Indiana's first game. They play Illinois and it's at home.
Dude, I was thinking
That's going to be a
is anybody
great.
bullish on Illinois?
No.
Like,
Really?
no.
They
They
were the
did beat
most
SC last year.
lucky and fortunate team in the country. And I'm not saying that means obviously they're not going to be that this year. They had some fortuitous bounces. They should have lost to Kansas, but Kansas is like, I mean, Kansas, I mean, that was Kansas' first 6 weeks is like a case study in how like unlucky a team can be while playing pretty good like 80% of the time. I mean, they just had so many. I think you're in. I think Altmaier is a lot. He's not as good as his numbers last year. If you truly like looked at them, he did exactly what he was like expected to do. He lit up the bad teams. When he played Oregon, it was like he had never touched a football before, which is like obviously when you're playing Oregon, it's going to happen. I can't see the hype because like I think they're like this. They're this year's. I don't know what I would compare them to, but they're like this year's like hot commodity in the Big Ten. Like everybody's like the returning production and all that. They got to replace three of their best receivers in probably program history. I mean that Pat Franklin and Pat no Pat Bryant and something Franklin. I mean those they are like they were very good receivers. I like them a lot. So I don't know.
All
I think
right.
it'll be tough.
I'm glad you brought up Illinois, Charlie, because that is one of my upset specials.
Ooh,
Is
who?
week one at Duke
Who's
at high
favored?
noon. I'm sorry.
Who's favored?
Illinois is going to be a top 15 team.
Oh, really?
Duke's not going to be ranked.
I mean, I'm a Darius Mensah believer. So, and
Yeah.
I think Manny Diaz, like his scheme is, he's got good
I
scheme.
think that's a game everyone's really high on Illinois. They're this year's Indiana.
And then
I
Duke
think
coming off a loss at Elon, like, then you're junkyard
Elon,
dog mode.
yeah. They win a dog fight. They play Elon in a dog fight week one, and then they come in and beat Illinois week two.
I like that. Okay, hey, we're gonna take another break and then we'll be right back. And we are back, the forward pass, and we're gonna get into our playoff predictions. So I guess we'll start with our five conference champs. So you got four, the Power Four, and then you have the one at large, or the one G5 at large, so or conference. But so I'm gonna go Ohio State. They're gonna win the Big Ten. Duska, I do like what you were saying about how they win the game in the shoe against Penn State and then lose to Penn State later. I think they might lose that one, and then I think Ohio State's gonna win the conference. But I wouldn't be surprised if, Oregon got hot or Penn State got hot, or if Washington or Michigan won it, that would be something insane. But I got Ohio State winning that. Clemson with the ACC, Georgia with the SEC, and then I got Arizona State winning the Big 12 back to back. I love Kenny Dillingham. Sam Levitt, I think, is really good. I think he could like play in the NFL like later. I think he's an NFL quarterback. When I watched him, I was really impressed. He's like just kind of slings it. He's like a little Burrow-esque. Obviously not as good, but he's like an 80% of what Burrow was in college. Like gets the ball out on time, like good, like plus arm talent, and he can move around. Probably more athlete than what Burrow was. I love Jordan Tyson. He's their number one receiver that they did not have for the playoffs. He's unbelievable. Like makes contested catches. He's such a matchup problem, especially in the Big 12, where you're not getting a lot of first round DBs. That's gonna be really hard to guard him. And then Kanye Udoh was a Army running back transfer. It was Army's best player besides the kid that went to Georgia. He's really good. So I think they have like a kind of a three-headed monster at QB, receiver, and running back. I'm kind of bullish on them. And then my fifth team comes at no surprise, the Naval Academy, the United States Naval Academy. I'm actually huge on them. And again, I'm a very fair Navy fan. I've seen a lot of 3-9 seasons. I've seen a lot of 9-3 seasons. We went 10-3 last year, beat Oklahoma, a poverty Oklahoma team that had lost 30 guys to the portal. But no less, beat Oklahoma in a bowl game last year. Brian Newberry, year three. You've got Drew Kronick. He is the OC. He's from Sharpsburg, Georgia, right under Atlanta. Mercer head coach, former Mercer head coach. Absolute ball. Absolute. I love him. I love his offense. He kind of runs more shotgun for the
Bears.
option. He's an awesome offensive coordinator. He makes Navy really fun to watch. So you got
Mercer
Drew,
legend.
year two. Yeah, Mercer legend. Drew Kronick, year two. Blake Horvath, anytime Navy's ever good. The only we need a court we like there's been Kaipo Noah Kanhaku and Hada. He was when I was a growing up as a kid, Hawaiian kid. He was awesome. Then you had Ricky Dobbs, where we went on a couple runs. Malcolm Perry. Oh well, Keenan Reynolds, who was in our apartment, a picture in our apartment for years at Elon. And then Malcolm Perry, and then now you have Blake Horvath. So anytime we've ever been good in my lifetime, or when my dad was playing Chris McCoy, I don't know if you guys heard that name.
Irv
Anyway,
Dingle.
yeah, Irv Dink, Matt Harden, we're getting the ball. We're getting the dive going. Whenever we can get the dive going, we have good quarterback play. We're really good. Tezza and Heidenreich, Lebo kids, the Yinzers, I love it. They have a lot of returning O-line leadership. They've got Their guard kicked into center. He's starting at center this year, but he was like a starting guard last year. Then they don't play. They have four guards and a center. Like, they literally just, they don't have a tackle. Like, everybody just runs off the line of scrimmage. Pretty awesome. And then Luke Pierce, linebacker. They lost Ramos and Ryan Lane. Ramos and Lane. Ramos didn't get drafted, but he went to a camp. And then Lane would got drafted by the Jags. And then you have Landon Robinson. He's a defensive tackle. He was a first team all AAC last year. I'm super high on Navy. Their schedule's super manageable. A lot of Temple, a lot of Rice. They do play South Florida later in the year. And they go South Florida and Memphis. So that's like their tough spot in the schedule. South
And
Florida,
Notre Dame.
Memphis, Army, Notre Dame. Well, we don't have to win that game. Like, it doesn't. But if we do,
No.
then it would be a huge boost. But I think if you win the AAC, that's probably the best G5 conference. Maybe like Mountain West or Pac-12, I guess, maybe. But whatever. I like Navy coming out of there. So somebody can go next with their five conference champs.
Sure, I can go. So unfortunately, I'm not going to steer far from a lot of that. I went at Georgia in the SEC. We kind of went over this earlier. Good roster. Stockton, full-year starter. I'm not going to have to do a whole lot just to make smart decisions and not throw the ball over. I like Ohio State out of the Big Ten. They have the two best players in the country, so you're going to have a chance all the time. I have Clemson in the ACC. I just think that they're a class above the rest. I think that the ACC is going to be down this year, even more than they were last year. And then I have, what's that? That's three. And then I have Arizona State out of the Big 12. I just think that, again, there's a big clusterfuck of teams in the middle, but I think they rise to the occasion just because of their quarterback play and Kenny Dillingham. And then I have UNLV as my G5 team. Year one with Dan Mullen, I think this was another spot that we were a year late on this team, or a year early on this on the team,
Is
I might
Orji the
say. But
starter? Is Orji the starter?
it's between Orji and Calandro, the Virginia quarterback.
They're gonna do a two-headed monster, I heard.
Yeah, so I don't mind that. I think
I hate
That's a
that.
crazy
Orji
two-headed monster.
Two
Will
of the
fit
most opposite
really
guys.
well in this
One guy that
offense.
throws too much.
That's the Langford Justin Allen J Force
Yeah.
Villanova game.
One guy that throws too much and one guy that physically cannot throw the football.
Cannot throw the ball.
Yeah.
Running back. He's
But I
literally a
also just
running
like the
back.
way that the schedule works out for UNLV because they play UCLA at home week. Oh, so they play week zero game. So their week, it's week two, but their third game of the year is going to be home against UCLA, which I could see them being a favorite in that game and could win that game. So that would give them a P5 win against the Big Ten team. Then you kind of go down here. It's very workable, and then you have that big game against Boise, in October, and likely a clash against them again in the conference final. So, I think that this team can go 11-1 and win the Mountain West. I think it would be between them and Navy are my two top G5 teams. I just think UNLV is going to have that Power Five win that I don't know if Navy is going to have. That could set them apart, especially if they let Boise and go undefeated in the regular season.
You want to go, Arch, or do you want me to go?
You got it.
That's all right. I mean, mine's fairly similar to you guys as well. I had Georgia. We talked about that earlier. I think it's a huge advantage that they play Alabama and Texas at home. And I know we haven't talked about Texas a lot, but I'm not. I think there's a lot more questions surrounding them than given credit for, and I think they're kind of shooed in as kind of like that top dog in the SEC by a lot of people. And I want to see what it looks like with Arch Manning. Like, obviously, he started like one game last year, but I want to see what it looks like when he's the guy and everything's relying on him. I want some of those questions answered before I'm going to give Texas the benefit of the doubt, like they've been getting. So I think Georgia, pretty handily wins the SEC. I talked about it earlier. I think Penn State's going to win the Big Ten. I think it's finally their time. Clemson in the ACC. You guys talked about it. They're just the cream of the crop there. I mean, I've been a Kenny Dillingham guy since I heard the Pate interview, like last November. Definitely on board with his coaching philosophy and I think it's cool that he's an Arizona guy and gets to coach Arizona State and lead that team. So I think Arizona State wins the Big 12. And then as I feel like an honorary Navy fan, and that fandom's been developing over the past few years. So just to be a little homerish, I hope that the Mountain West ends up being a little more choppy than expected, and like you get some UNLV and Boise losses, and Navy's able to just slip in there, get that 12 seed in the playoff. That would be pretty awesome to get. Even if like I don't want Army, I don't want it to be the Army spot, but even if like if a service team gets into the playoff, I think that's pretty awesome for the
If
sport.
Navy gets,
It
if
would be
Navy,
great.
yeah, if Navy gets like, if they're 8-4, obviously I hope they beat Army, but yeah, I'd love to see if
Yeah.
they're 8-4 and then they beat Army and Army's like a 10-2, I'd like to see Army get in as
Yeah.
well.
Also, I've mentioned this take to your dad, and I've been saying it like the last 2 years. I think that service academies are well positioned in this era of college football just because of how volatile it is with players transferring all over the place. When you choose to go to Navy, I think that, or to any service academy, I think that commitment means a little more than it does at other places these days. So I think that they've always been able to scoop up those like fringe, like they get a lot of FCS offers, but they don't have a lot of FBS opportunities. Guys want to play like the highest level of college football. I think they always get those fringe recruits, and I think that trend will continue, and they'll be able to retain those guys more than a lot of the teams that they're competing against in the G5 are able to do, like with how college football
Yeah.
is now. So I think like Navy, Army, they're well positioned for the future, and I hope Navy can pull it off this year.
So one thing about the academies that goes along with what you're saying is they don't have the same 105 roster limit that everybody else is going to have. So they don't have to have one under five players. They bring in like 60 kids every year. So like they bring in 20 kids from the prep school and 40 kids direct. And so you just get a lot of like pool from kids. So although you don't get the portal, you have unlimited roster limits,
Exactly.
and you're
Yeah.
just hoping like, hey, we got a lot of good football players. Can we develop 20 of these guys per 60 class? Like, can we get a fourth of these guys to be like FBS ready and play some ball?
Like culture
Also,
will never be an issue at those
never,
places. Yeah.
never,
So it's always the team first there, which I
yeah,
love.
and they do kind of get like, I mean. The scheme has like evolved from Army and Navy. Like they run a it's a, first off, preparing for the option is always just gonna be brutal. Like teams play like the when Notre Dame plays Navy or when somebody plays Army, it's not necessarily that game that is like really difficult. It's actually the game after that's really difficult. So like people talk about how like, oh, Notre Dame has to play somebody else after playing Navy, and like that's a tough spot to be in. Just like the way they play football is just really different. Especially for D linemen and linebackers, like you're literally just getting your knees chopped at all game. Like there's so much eye candy. Plus, like we do kind of get Navy and Army are getting real athletes now, where like guys that are running 4.4, 4.5. So you know you really got like when we come into North Texas, like North Texas, like that's we're probably gonna drop 35 on those guys like pretty much every time. Like that's kind of just how it goes if you have good. If you have good execution, so that's another service academy.
The Army transfer at Georgia, that guy's a freak of nature.
Oh my
Like,
gosh.
yeah.
Hello. He's a dog. I've heard
Like,
that.
Kubik was
Unbelievable.
saying that he was going to be SEC Defensive Player of the Year. Like,
I don't
he's just so
doubt
twitchy and like, just flies to the ball. It's
And I'm
sick.
sure that guy's so dialed, like just watching film and
Yeah.
like just like he's
He's an
such
Army
a
guy. Yeah.
yeah, like
All right,
Navy.
Arch. Bring us
All right.
home.
Yeah, so my conference champs, I got in no particular order because I don't really know how they're going to rank these at the end of the season. I got Ohio State, obviously we touched on that. I got Georgia, touched on that. Clemson is my third. I'm fine with that. I think if it wasn't Clemson in my because I if I was going to like predict the big or the ACC title, I think it's one of the three of Clemson, Miami, or Louisville is going to be the winner of that conference. So I think any three of those wouldn't shock me. And then my fourth, I got Utah. Very bullish on them. I think for all the reasons why I said earlier, I mean the I think it's Tim Beck merging with Dan Pierre from New Mexico at Utah. I mean, I think it's probably the best program like built in the Big 12, like sustained success for like a long period of time and building something out of nothing like Whittingham has. in a conference full like volatility like that. That's kind of why I think if you lean more on culture and stuff like that, which is why I've been very bearish on Texas Tech, is like you can buy all the recruits in a down like portal cycle that like really the top guys at the portal, the top schools really weren't wanting them. So it's like they weren't like gonna be like a Georgia or like the LSU's, the Clemson, like the best guy in the portal, they weren't throwing like oil money like Texas Tech was at them because they wouldn't play on their team and they wouldn't be a key contributor, and you'd be paying them more than you're probably paying your starters just to be this rotational guy. So I mean, I'm not really impressed with that. I mean, I think Texas Tech will be fine. I just don't. But the team, if I said, I guess because I don't know if I'm supposed to do this, but I'm gonna like go on like Big 12, who I think would be in the title. I think it's gonna be Utah versus Baylor. They play like week 12, and I think they're gonna rematch three weeks later, which I think is gonna be pretty cool.
Do you think Baylor will get we'll sneak in at the end, or no? Do you think that one Big 12 team?
I think no.
Depends on
Well,
that Auburn game.
I think I got one Big 12 team in my playoff, but I wouldn't be shocked if it was I think between the ACC and the Big 12, you're looking at three teams or four teams this year. Just depends on how the cookie crumbles with the rest of the conference. But my G5 champion, I've been going back and forth on this one because I did have Boise, because I think the Mountain West is so down, like as a whole. I mean, you got UNLV and you got Boise State. The rest of the conference is like pretty bad now. And it's like weird because it used to be pretty, like there used to not be as many abysmal teams in that conference as there is now. Like the Utah States, the Nevadas, the
Wyoming, San Diego
Wyoming.
State.
Yeah, like you have like some of the worst G5 teams. You have probably the worst teams in the country, other than like the MAC. You have probably some of the worst in there. I mean, that's why I don't have Boise in there, because I think that it, like, I don't know if they're like the Mountain West's resume could be as good. I have as my champion in G5, I have South Florida. I was leaning between Navy and South Florida, because my only reason why I would probably like in high, I probably at the end of the year, if Navy does, I bet yeah, I probably should pick them. I don't know if y'all know, South Florida's first three games are probably the hardest three games I've ever seen for a G5 program. Like it's like a legitimate one that's not just like Temple just getting paid millions of dollars to get smacked around. They play Boise State on a third. So the first Thursday of the season, they play Boise State at home, and they go to at Florida and then at Miami. For like a legitimate team that's like trying to do, make like playoff pushes, that isn't like that's probably the hardest I've ever seen from like a G5 program that's like a legitimate contender, I guess. But I think if you weather that storm and you go 1-2 in that, because I think they're going to beat Boise State week one, which is why why I don't have Boise. That's why I have them. I mean, they do go at Navy, and I could see that being a rematch in the title game as well for the American. I mean, I could see them losing to Navy and then just playing them again 3 weeks later or 2 weeks later. I could just see that. So, I mean, if I was gonna go with one, I'm gonna go South Florida, but I also wouldn't be shocked if it's Navy. I'm kind of indifferent on those two programs. So that'll be my five conference champs.
All right. I like that arch. I like that arch. I really hope we don't. The AAC conference championship game is not Army Navy. That would be weird if then they played a week later in
Yeah.
Baltimore.
No, I don't want
I would
that.
say I
Yeah,
would
yeah.
say this. I don't think y'all sh I don't think anybody should be worried about Army contending this year.
True. They're
They
not.
are they are
They got rinsed by the portal.
portal and just like graduating guys that aren't going to the, like that are going to like serve. It's not like they're like graduating to go to the NFL. Like Bryson Daly is probably in like boot
He's probably
like
on the front line right
he's probably
now.
in like JAG training or something right now to be like an officer.
He's
So it's like
probably in
different.
Japan right now.
Yeah, so it's like it's different. I mean, you lost your running back, probably the best guy in your defense. I mean, you lost so much that
Yeah.
I think Army has a like a
But
that game's always going to be
the
competitive
one thing
though.
about Army though is like the if you look at the AAC, it's not what you don't have to play Cincy, you don't have to play Houston, like you don't play SMU, like you're playing North Texas, you're playing Charlotte, you're playing like Rice. So like I could see them being like 8-4, no doubt. Like
Yeah.
Memphis, Navy, South Florida, those are probably the best teams in the conference.
Temple.
Yeah, the
Your Casey
Owls.
Keeler.
I mean, the Owls, there's a chance like they wouldn't if they wouldn't sell they play at the Link, right? They wouldn't sell out at where Roman Catholic plays. Like they might have under 4,000 fans at each game this
Isn't
year.
Oklahoma going into Temple this year?
True. That might be a
Yes.
big game. big game.
At the link, that'll have buzz.
That'll
I
have
wish I
buzz,
could go
yeah.
to that. That'd be
Yeah,
awesome.
that would be awesome. Yeah.
Remember when Temple had College Game Day against Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yeah.
Matt Rhule era.
Do you remember when Temple and Navy were battling out for the AAC title 2016? No, that's okay.
Those were the days.
Those were the days. Yeah, Temple fall from grace. But dude, they just need the right coach. Like
I
they're in
think they
the
got him. I think they did get him this cycle.
really, who, what's his name?
Casey Keeler, it's the old Sam Houston coach when he brought their defensive coordinator and
Oh,
they
I
brought
like
like their
that.
entire defense.
I like that from
They played
Temple.
UMass week one. I think that's a like sicko mode. I think that's like a smash spot for Temple. I
Sticko
think like UMass is like awful. I think
mode.
they're gonna like smash them and it's gonna be like okay, like Temple might we're not like this year, when you're certainly not arrived. You're like, okay, you can see like
We're turning it around.
yeah, you can see some life in a otherwise dormant
I
program.
mean, the PCL to Temple t pipeline is gonna be
It's
built.
real.
Yeah, it's gonna be built. It's gonna be built again. It was dead for a little bit. Now this, what's his name again, Arch? Give me the name.
Healer.
Keeler.
Kaler, he's building it.
Yeah.
He's building that pipeline right downtown.
Roman Catholics, 5 blocks away.
Oh, yeah, that's
Head
all you
down
need.
there. There's plenty of talent there.
Plenty of talent. Top 10 team in the state of Pennsylvania. Okay. So we're gonna go to the next part of the segment. So I'll give you, I guess we'll go who you think like 5 through 8 will be. We'll go 5 through 8 and then we'll go 11 through 12 after, I mean 11 through 9 through 12
So we
on the
just
next
should we
one.
just give our next 8 playoff teams?
Yeah,
I
why don't we
mean
just give the
all of
rest
them? All right,
the
sweet.
at large?
So
Yeah.
I'm going Texas, right? I think they just get in. The SEC is unbelievably hard, like, but I do think Texas is good, Sark's good. They're gonna have B quarterback play at a minimum, I believe. I don't think Arch is gonna be like bad. I think he's gonna be pretty good.
No.
And then also the ceiling, there's a ceiling that he's just awesome. And he's just like, well, here's a Manning, and Texas got him. So I think they're gonna be, I have them slotting in at 5. Then I got Penn State. They probably lose at the Shoe, and then I have them losing to Iowa, so then they miss the Big Ten game, but then they still get in at large. Then I got Oregon right after them. I think Oregon will play in the Big Ten championship and lose to Ohio State. Then at 8, I have Notre Dame. Their schedule's like just, I think they'll get in. I have no idea what CJ Carr is. Like, you got to watch his high school tape to see him play football. So, but I'm a huge Marcus Freeman believer, like to the core. They're all coming off a national championship run. They're just a well put together program, and their schedule's not that bad. Like, can they beat USC? Can they beat all the ACC teams they play? And then the A&M game, I actually think they're gonna lose the A&M game. I think that could be, although it is in South Bend, so we'll see what happens with that. That's gonna be a tough game, but I think that's like their hardest game they got. But I think Notre Dame gets in. So for the 9 and 10 spot, I have two SEC teams, and basically I decided you're picking out of this cluster. You're picking out of the Bama, SC, Mizzou, LSU, A&M, Oklahoma, and Ole Miss cluster. That's kind of like the cluster that you. It is such a crapshoot when you go through these schedules. Even Missouri's schedule, I heard like the Solid Verbal and Pate guys and Pate talk about like, how Mizzou has like a very like their friendly schedule. They don't get Georgia, they don't get Texas. Yeah, but they get all the like in that cluster team. So I don't see them going like 10 and 2. Like I simply, unless they're really good, unless Bro Pribula is like the truth. I really like Drink, but I wanted to be all in on Missouri, but I'm not. LSU's got Nussmeier. I do think most people will probably have them in their playoff. I just see SC getting them. I see SC getting them. I don't know. And then A&M, do you guys know who Kevin Concepcion is?
Yeah,
Transfer
K-State
receiver from
receiver.
NC State. Unbelievable. One of my favorite receivers, like I'll watch this year. He's gonna be really good. I wonder what Auburn's gonna be. They got Eric Singleton Jr. from Georgia Tech. He's unbelievable at football. Then they've got a Cam Coleman, I believe is his name, freshman receiver.
Yeah.
He's gonna be a sophomore. He's like the second best receiver besides Jeremiah Smith from that class. But again, it's such a crapshoot. So the two teams I ended up picking were, I think Bama comes out of it. I'm a DeBoer believer. I saw him do it. I've seen him do it at Sioux Falls. I've seen him do it at Fresno, and I've seen him do it at Washington. The offensive line, I believe they have. Hey, who's that kid that the kid from the Iowa kid, Duska?
Caden Proctor.
Yeah, like they
And
got Proctor.
Brailsford's good too from the Washington runs.
Exactly. So They've got a bunch of good O linemen. I do think getting what's his name back, the Seahawks kid, the Seahawks guy.
Grub.
Yeah,
Grub.
Grubb back. I'm kind of high on them. We'll see how their quarterback play is. I've heard Ty Simpson's like solid. Like Will Langford's all in on Ty Simpson. So if he's all in on Ty
Yes.
Simpson, I'm in on Ty Simpson. So I got Bama, and then I can't believe Sam just left because I really wanted him to be here for this. But I got SC because
Wow.
I do have SC.
Good grief. Yeah.
Sam, did you hear that?
Yeah, I know. I told you about that whole phone situation. My
You're
roommate
good. You're good.
had to
Hey,
give his
I do
mother
have
my phone.
SC as my 10 seed. Let me give the SC bullish case. It's this year or never. Because once Lenoris is gone, they're not going to just find another top three quarterback in the SEC. And like they just don't recruit well enough to be a part of this conversation every single year. Like I think we're going to have to get used to South Carolina going 7-5 in perpetuity. But I do think this year, you've got Nick Harbor. You've got a great edge player, and you have Lenore Sellers. And like, if it's any year for SC, and this is Homer, because SC is my SEC team. If it's any year, it's this year, and if it's not this year, it's never. So I do like Beamer. They can go 9-3. Like they can lose the Clemson game, they can lose to Bama, and they can lose to Ole Miss, and they can get in the playoff. So. Those are my things. And then my last team, like I had Navy as the 12 seed, but my last team at the 11 line is I had to pick one ACC or Big 12 team. I got Utah in it. So I'm in on Utah. Again, I really like Devin Dampier and Kyle Whittingham's last go around. So I guess also a lot of this is like a little, I want to see that happen. I want to see Whittingham go to the playoff. He's one of the best coaches of our lifetime. That's who I got.
Nice. I can go. Thank you for the South Carolina shout. My at large, all right, just look at this right now. So Texas, my first at large, pretty self-explanatory. I do fear if they lose that first game to Ohio State in a fashion where it's like if they lose like 21-10 or something where their offense has like no life. And their O-line isn't improved, and this loss to their tackle is worse than people think. I fear that there could just be a big panic in Austin, and if they get clipped at some point by someone like at the Swamp, and find themselves with two losses in October, I think there could be a little bit of worry there. But their SEC schedule kind of works out for them, so they just kind of really have to just win one of those, Florida, Georgia, A&M, and they'll definitely get in. Next, Penn State, again, pretty self-explanatory. I have them at going 11-1 and making it in as a top four seed. Then Notre Dame, I think that they're very good, a lot of continuity, and I think that there's a reason that they've been very confident in CJ Carr, not really being aggressive in the transfer portal for a quarterback and kind of letting the other guy walk. So I think they see something in him. You gotta kind of have to trust Marcus Freeman. Next, you got LSU, Nuss just slinging it all year. I think what you said that you think we're going to get them, I don't, because that's going to be. I was looking the other day. That's Red River Rivalry Week, which is the 3:30 SEC game. I have a feeling that if both South Carolina and LSU are undefeated going into that game, which is very possible, that will be a night game in Death Valley. And I just don't see our young O-line doing very well there. Next, I have us. I think South Carolina is really good just because when you have Lenoris, Stallers, and Dylan Stewart, you're going to have a chance in every single game. Two most important positions in the field, quarterback and edge rusher. You have an A-plus talent at both of those. I also think this O-line is really underrated. This is going to be the best line the Beamers have. A lot of guys coming back and a lot of the younger guys just getting more reps and being better this year. The addition of Rasul Fajon will be huge if he gets approved. Just going to add another layer to this rushing attack that I think they're going to lean pretty heavy on early in the season. And then the wide receiver core is, I think, underrated at this point. I think you're going to see a big step up with Harbor. And then this new guy, his name is Rowe. He's a freak as wide receiver three. Tomazoo Bennett taking a step up. And then the secondary is elite. So You have very good positions. What just scares me is their schedule, and can they navigate October when you have to go Oklahoma, Bama, Ole Miss, back to back to back after LSU. So a lot of different things happening there, but I have them as my eight going 10-2. After that, I have Bama getting in, Washington getting in. Yeah, that's all of it. So I think that there's going to be five SEC teams because I think that. Okay. I just think that the committee is going to judge the playoffs differently and really favor strength of schedule this year after kind of a lot of blowouts in round one last year.
Do you want me to go? All
Yeah, you can go.
right. I think also, Sam, I think Josiah Thompson's going to be, he's going to be one of the best tackles in the country this year, I think.
Yep.
I'd be excited about him. All right. So I talked about my conference champs. Moving to at large. So I have Ohio State. Since I had Penn State as champ, I think they lose to Penn State in the conference championship game. Oregon, I think they'll just be solid. I'll try to kind of speed through this. I talked about Michigan earlier, so I think they sneak in as the fourth Big Ten team. I think that with we talked about it earlier, their schedule being a little softer than kind of the SEC bloodbath. So I think the committee will just favor a good schedule. That's kind of I feel like that's what they usually do, or a good record when you're a Big Ten team. So I think that only three SEC teams will make it. Because of kind of those things. So I think that Notre Dame takes one of those spots, like we talked about earlier. And then I just had Texas and Alabama. I think Texas, lot of questions to be answered. Like you said, I think Arch will be solid no matter what. They have Trevor Goosby is one of my favorite tackles in the whole country. So I think they'll be solid. The Kelvin Banks, like I think they have a guy that they can slot in there. And be protected well for Arch. I think he'll have a big year. And then I had Alabama. You talked about kind of some of the year two DeBoer things earlier, Chuck. I think O line, they're really deep. They probably have the first tackle selected in the draft, possibly, maybe number two. And then they have two other guys with 20 plus starts, Brailsford from those Washington teams. And then Jaden Roberts has a lot of experience too. So I think that O line is going to be really good, and where they kind of struggled to run the ball last year, I think they open it up a bit more this year, and they're a little more explosive than they were. And then they keep Ty Simpson protected, which is going to be big for him, getting like reps early. So I think Alabama is going to be solid. And then the last team I had sneaking in, because I think the ACC is just. Like the top teams, I think are a little more vulnerable with like the schedules they play. Georgia Tech and Miami plays Notre Dame and Florida, so I think they might struggle to sneak into the playoff. I think Texas Tech, it could be any Big 12 team you could slot in here. I kind of just there's a lot of hype surrounding them. I think they if everything kind of pans out the way they expect to with their portal acquisitions, I think they. Are solid and sneak into like that last playoff spot. So those are all my at large, and I'll toss it over to Arch.
Yeah, so we know my four and my the top four and then like the 12, I guess, for so I got five. I got Penn State solely because I think they're just gonna lose the Big Ten championship and then it's just gonna be like a slot at five kind of thing. I mean, I could get into why. Like, I think they have a pretty easy schedule, pretty favorable draw. I got Alabama at six. I think Bama and Georgia probably rematch in the SEC championship. So I'm high on Bama this year. It pains me to say it. I think Ty Simpson's going to be a stud. DeBoer's offense is just, if you got like a somewhat competent quarterback, you're going to cook. I got seven. I got Notre Dame. Y'all kind of touched on it. I just don't see a world how Notre Dame misses the playoff. I mean, their schedule, I mean, they got Miami to start, but then they have a bye and then they play Texas A&M. I think they go 1-1 in
Oh,
the bowl
thanks.
games. And then after
Is it
that,
good?
I think it's.
When do you get a new one?
Sam, mute.
Oh, shoot.
And then I think they go 1-1 in that, and they just run the table the rest of the season. I mean, I think if they lose to Miami, they'll probably buzzsaw A&M. If they beat Miami, they'll probably lose. They'll probably slip up against A&M. I think it's just going to be
All I have to do is go 1-1
That's
too.
what I'm saying. You go 1-1 and you'll make it as 11-1. So my eight, I got Texas. And spoiler alert, that's gonna be my last SEC team, kind of what Duska said. I think you'll see from 13 to 20, there'll probably be five SEC teams there. I just don't, or from 12 to 20, I guess. There'll probably be like five SEC teams. I just think that they'll be like the 9-3s, the 8-4s. My nine, I got Washington. After looking, like I said, looking at their schedule, I mean, we talked about it. I think they'll be 10-2, and I think they'll have a loss or I'll have a win versus Oregon to close the season, which will give a favorable draw in the committee's eyes because, as much as like they don't say it, it's honestly what you did most recently is what you are. Like, if you lose the last game of the season, like they'll probably push you out if you lost to Oregon. But I think if they beat them, they'll probably be in there because recency bias, I guess. My 11 spot, I kind of fought about this because this is like this there's like probably six teams I think that could do it. I got Indiana as the 11 seed. I mean, if they go, I think they'll go 10-2 with their schedule this season. And I think it's they'll lose to Oregon and they'll lose to Penn State. My question is, how bad do you lose those games? And are they, and if they're, are they competitive at all? Because if they're competitive, you'll be in the playoff, even though they might like want to punish you for say, like, because their Notre Dame game was pretty lifeless. So I don't know if the committee would want that as a repeat. So I don't, that could probably be the thing that hurts them. But I also had like LSU, I had Baylor, I had Ole Miss, I had South Carolina. I mean, I even like Missouri, they're 10-9-3 or something like that. They could. And then obviously we had 12 spot. We had my South Florida.
Hey,
But like I
Mark,
said, I
two question one well, one question for you, one for what one question for Duska. If Indiana goes back to back years to the playoff, does like an LSU goes like 8-4, like does an SEC team come poach him for a ridiculous number?
They should.
I think they should. I think it's funny. I think that you just referenced who they like a team that could probably go after them. If LSU goes 8-4 this year, Brian Kelly is fired.
Or like Florida goes 7-5, and like Florida's
Yeah,
like, we're
and
gonna
Sun
give
Belt Billy's
Cincinnati
done.
$15 million.
Yeah, no, I could definitely see that. I think they'd be hesitant because of his like. This is gonna sound stupid. I think they would be hesitant because of his comments this year, like at media days and stuff like that. It's like shots at the SEC and like other coaches there. So I feel like a program that like, I feel like they would like the an SEC program would be worried about what other teams like their perception. You know what I mean? I think that'd be the only thing that holds them back. And I also don't think like for LSU, I don't think Cignetti could be their best coach they could get. Like I think if LSU fired him, like they'd probably go after like Marcus Freeman. Like that sounds stupid.
I
they
don't
would go
think
after.
I
I
don't
don't
think
think
Freeman.
Freeman would go after, but I think they would go after like big names and like
Isn't
these brands
Cignetti
that aren't as good. But I don't think these brands like LSU probably think they're better than Cignetti. You know what I mean?
a I guess, but I mean LSU would be not go to the
Well,
playoffs 2 years in
a
a row if
school
he
like
goes.
Auburn might be up for a coach too.
Oh, Auburn, I know,
This
sorry,
year,
that's not
Auburn
well,
would hire Cignetti.
Auburn is absolutely
That's a
in the
Cignetti
market for a
watch for
coach
sure. And
there.
then,
Hey, and
I
then
see a lot
quick.
of
Oh, go
Rhett
ahead.
Lashley to SMU or to Arkansas.
Yeah.
Rhett Lashley, that'd be a
Be
good one.
cool.
Hey, Dusk, quickly, we got a minute left. Duska, so you're high on Michigan, but no Michigan in the playoff.
No, I had Michigan.
You had him like the
Yeah,
second
I had
seed.
four Big Ten. I didn't have my seed. I just split it up by conference.
Oh,
So I
wait,
had,
where did you have Michigan? Bottom?
I didn't
What?
seed them. I just, yeah, I mean, they would probably be lower
My
just because they're
bad. I
not going
didn't.
to win the Big Ten.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I
but
like that. Okay.
they were my fourth Big Ten team to sneak in.
That'd be a huge get for Michigan. That'd be a huge get. All right. Well, guys, this is the first edition of the Forward Pass. I had an absolute blast. Yeah, clap it up for yourselves. Hopefully, I'll edit
Good
this thing and get
work.
it out within the week. So,
Great
guys,
stuff,
thank you so
fellas.
much. That was awesome.
To all of
We'll be
our
back.
heads, we'll be back with a
We'll be back.
vengeance next week to
Yeah.
talk NFL ball.
Some
Get
wild
in.
takes coming.
Some lures, some falcons, some birds.
And then after that, for the we'll have some week zero recaps and some week one. And then also, I was thinking we could do like in the week one, we could do our like top trios in the country. Like you talked about it, inspired with the Arizona State, Tyson, Levitt, and Udo. We could do something like that. But I mean, more to come. I'm
More to come.
excited.
All right, fellas.